And as you take your seats, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In the church Bible, you can find that on page 1347. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I usually preach from something different than our regular series. But since we began a new series just Sunday evening, I wanted to continue it today. So we are going to continue in our series on the armor of God this afternoon and look at the first piece of armor, which is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Let's read now Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And that's where we'll stop. Having girded your waist with truth. Semper Paratus is the motto of the United States Coast Guard. If you've heard of it before, it's inscribed on their flag. It's the title of their marching song, and the phrase is Latin for always ready. And this is the idea here, that the Coast Guard has that as its purpose. They are to be always ready to help, always ready to defend. Well, the Christian life does not have a motto. We don't have a marching song necessarily or a flag that we can fly. And if you were to think of what a motto would be for the Christian life, I'm sure there would be many options to choose from, and rightly so. But I do think that this is one that would certainly apply. Semper Paratus. Because as we'll see this afternoon, God's people are to also be always ready. And that's in particular, it's for many things, but in particular, it's to be always ready for the fight against evil. And one of the ways we're to do that, Scripture says, is by putting on the belt of truth, which is what we're going to be talking about today. So as we study this piece of armor, that's what we're going to learn from it. And you can see this as the main point on your outline. Right? Here we know, and here we're told by God that we need to prepare ourselves to stand in the battle against evil by putting on the belt of truth. Right? Prepare yourself to stand in the battle against evil by putting on the belt of truth. And so let's begin our discussion here and our study of this particular piece of armor. So the first thing I want you to see is that you need the belt of truth to stand in the battle against evil. Now, if you remember from last week when we started this series, we learned that we are in a battle as Christians. It's not a physical battle with people. It's a spiritual battle with the forces of darkness. It's a battle against sin. It's a battle against Satan. And even though we can't see this battle with our own eyes, it is nonetheless real and dangerous. It's an actual battle with actual consequences, and so it's a battle that requires constant watchfulness, and Scripture reminds us it's a battle from which none of us as Christians are exempt. Every single one of us have been enlisted in the Lord's army. But we also saw, if you remember, that this battle is imbalanced and unfair, because Satan has more experience, more knowledge, more power, and more success than any of us do. Right? He has been doing it longer. He knows how to do it better. He has more strength. He has quite the track record of accomplishing sin in the lives of God's people. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 6:10, if you look there, we are to be strong, not in our own strength, but be strong in the Lord. and be strong in the power of His might. Because if we try to fight this battle on our own, we're always going to lose. We need God's help, which is greater. And of course, God is the one victorious. And so to that end, Paul says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Right? Because that's the way to be strong in the Lord. And thus, that's the way, he says, to stand against the wiles of the devil. Which, if you recall from last week, that's the aim we have in this entire battle. Boys and girls, you might remember I talked about boxing last week. And in boxing, what is the goal? Right? You'll remember this. The goal of boxing, you have two people, right? And you want to be the one who does not get knocked down on the ground, right? You want to be the one who's standing up, looking down on the person you knocked on the ground, not the other way around. And Paul uses that language here of standing because that is our goal in the battle against evil. We are to stand, right? We're not to be on the ground in defeat. We're to be standing in victory. And he says the way to stand is by putting on the whole armor for God. Right? And that's the armor God provided for us. That's the armor that God has worn for us, namely in the life of Christ. And that's the armor who is God, Jesus himself. Well, in our text today, we see this command to stand one more time. Verse 14, stand therefore. Now, this is now the fourth time that Paul has told us to stand since verse 10. Yeah, because he doesn't want us to forget this is the aim of the battle. But now, instead of just telling us generally put on the armor of God, he starts getting into the specifics. And so he says, stand by doing what? By putting on the belt of truth. Now, the word belt is actually not found in the original Greek. Even though some of our Bibles include it, for the sake of clarity, the Greek literally says what the New King James says here, having girded your waist with truth. Having girded your waist with truth. But of course, the implication is clear, because with what do you gird your waist? You gird your waist with a belt. And so this is the first piece of God's armor, because this is the first piece of armor that a soldier would have put on. It is a foundational piece of armor. In the Old Testament, you will come across the phrase, gird up your loins. Have you come across that in your reading? Okay, yes, you probably have. What does it mean? Have you ever wondered? Right? What does it mean to gird up your loins? Well, it's a confusing phrase. It's one that we're not typically familiar with, but that's the idea here behind the belt of truth. Right? We are to gird our loins with truth, and our loins is literally our waist. Right? It's from the lower part of the ribs down to the upper part of our hips. It's our core, if you will. It's our midsection. Okay, and remember, most people in biblical times wore long flowing robes for their attire. Well, you can imagine, how are you going to go run and fight in a war if you're wearing a long flowing robe? Right? That's a very challenging thing to do. So what would they do? They'd get the bottom part of the robe and tie it up around their waist. That's girding up your loins, right? Pulling up the bottom part so that you could run. We actually see a good example of this in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Well, that's also what it means to put on the belt of truth, or to gird yourself with truth. Right? This was the piece of armor that held your clothing out of the way so that you would be enabled to run and fight in the battle. You could think of modern warfare, if that's helpful for you. The point is still true. Of course, our soldiers no longer gird up their loins, but they do wear a belt. Right? Because how can you be successful in war if your pants are falling down? Right? We understand that, don't we? Right? And so you need the belt to be able to fight in the battle. We can laugh about that, but that's literally the idea here. You need to have your pants on secure if you're going to be able to fight the enemy. This is what the belt enables us to do. Therefore, Paul says, to stand and be victorious in this fight, we must put on the belt. And first and foremost, that means we must put on Jesus Christ, who is the truth. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Right? Without Christ, we are doomed. Right? In fact, apart from Christ, we're on the enemy's side, and we will certainly be defeated with the enemy, because to be saved and to be victorious is to trust in Christ. And it's to know Christ. So we need to put on Christ, who is the truth, for that. But in addition, to be obedient, to resist the wiles of the devil day by day, we also need to put on Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Because as we saw last week, the only way to succeed in the battle against sin is by Christ's power and by what Christ supplies. Right? All of it comes back to Jesus. Who is Jesus? What does Jesus give? That's the way to stand against evil. And that's what the belt of truth is. It's not just Jesus himself, though it is. It's also what Jesus provides. And so with that in mind, as we come to our second point on the outline, let's go on to see that the belt of truth is godly sincerity, but especially biblical doctrine. Right? That's what Jesus gives us to help in the battle against evil, and that is what we are to put on. So let's look at each of them in turn. First, the belt of truth is godly sincerity. In the Bible, we find the word truth to be used in this sense. Let me give you some examples. Psalm 51:6, "Behold, you, God, desire truth in the inward parts." 3 John verse 1, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth." In both of those verses, the word truth is used to speak of sincerity or integrity. It's to do something truly. And that is what Satan works against in our lives, the Bible tells us. Right? Satan does not want us to be a genuine person of honest character. Right? On the contrary, Satan wants us to be a hypocrite. Or to put it differently, he wants us to be an actor. If you think of television or theater, what does an actor do? Boys and girls, you understand this. Right? An actor pretends to be someone he is not. He dresses up like someone else. He talks like someone else. He acts like someone else because that's his job. He is pretending to be someone else. Now, it's understandable in a TV show, but that is what a hypocrite is. In ancient Greece, they actually called their play actors hypocrites, because a hypocrite, by definition, is to wear a mask. It's a person pretending to be somebody he is not. And that's what Satan wants for us. He does not want us to sincerely love Christ and the church. He does not want us to be honest and above reproach. He wants us to be a lying pretender. William Gurnall, the Puritan, says, "The opposite of sincerity is hypocrisy, a lie with an attractive cover." Right, think of that. That's Satan's goal. On the outside, he does want you to look good. He wants you to go to church. He wants you to talk like a Christian. Sure. He just doesn't want any of it to be real. Right, as Jesus said to the hypocritical Pharisees, the devil wants us to draw near to God with our mouth and honor him with our lips, but he wants our heart to be where? Far away from him. And that's one of the purposes for the devil's wiles, for his seductions, for his distractions. And so what are we to do to stand against them? We have to put on the belt of godly sincerity. Right, we must girdle our will, as one Puritan put it, so that we love the Lord with our mouth and with our heart. Sinclair Ferguson says, "Without this, we are open to the blackmail of Satan and overexposed to his ability to accuse us of hypocrisy." Right? To stand, we must be sincere. That's to be our prayer. That's to be our goal in the Christian life. This is what we must be looking to Jesus for every day. And thankfully, this is what Jesus provides for his people by the Spirit. He works truth in our inward parts, to quote Psalm 51:6 again. In fact, this is how Jesus defeated Satan for us. He sincerely loved the Father and honestly lived in obedience to him. But more than godly sincerity, the belt of truth is biblical doctrine. Biblical doctrine. In the Bible, this is also what we find the word truth referring to. And I'll give you three examples this time. Two of them from Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In him, Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Ephesians 4, verse 21. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Since the Lord is the God of truth, Psalm 31, 5, everything about him is the truth. His gospel is the truth. The teachings of his son are the truth. Indeed, his entire written word is the truth. And from his revelation of these things in Scripture, we learn the truth about God and about man and about sin and salvation and the world in which we live and eternity after death and life in many, many different ways. We learn what we are to believe. We learn what we are to do or not do. Right? We learn what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with us, and where to find the solution. Most of all, we learn how to escape God's judgment and be given access to heaven. And we learn those things from the verses and the chapters of Scripture, but we also learn those things from the system of doctrine that Scripture gives us. Because the Bible does not just give us particular laws and commands. The Bible gives us a worldview, all putting it together, a lens through which we can view things rightly and truly and accurately. Right? And the worldview is the truth. This is what defines Christianity. It's not just one truth among many. It is the truth. And that's why Satan hates it so much. Because according to Jesus in John 8:44, Satan is the father of lies. If you remember from the Garden of Eden, with what did he first tempt Adam and Eve? With a lie. Right? Did God really say, "You shall not eat from any tree in the garden"? And since then, the devil has continued to spread falsehood throughout the world and try to deceive the people of God. He does that in false teaching. He does that by false teachers. This is why we have to be discerning in the things that we read and the things that we listen to. But the devil also works to deceive us in more subtle ways. As one Puritan has said, Satan will tell you 100 things that are true so that you will believe the next one thing that is not true. Right? He will tell you 100 things that are true so that you will believe the next one thing that is not true. Right? He did this with Jesus in the wilderness. Isn't it interesting when Jesus is tempted by Satan, Satan uses the Bible to tempt him? You ever thought about that? He's using the Bible. He's using the truth to tempt the Savior. He's quoting Scripture, but it's all for the purpose of deception, right? Remember, Satan has a lot of knowledge. That includes knowledge of the truth, but his aim is always to deceive us with the truth, right? To lead us astray, to get us to believe a lie so that we will then go on to live contrary to the truth. And so, just as we must combat Satan with godly sincerity, we must do the same with biblical doctrine. Right? Like Jesus responding to Satan in the wilderness, we need to respond to his lies with Scripture, saying as he said, "But it is written." But it is written. Right? Because the Bible and all that it contains, this is our source of strength and protection. Right? It is the means through which Jesus works to give us victory in the battle, just as it gave him victory in the battle. And so we must put on the belt of biblical truth. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:13, we must gird up the loins of our mind. This is what he's talking about. Right? We know the Bible. We believe the Bible. We apply the Bible. We hold fast to the Bible. That is girding up the loins of our mind. For those of you in school, have you ever had the opportunity to take an open book test? Right? You probably have, or you will at some point in the future. Those are the best kinds of tests, aren't they? Because you don't have to recall everything that you've been taught. Those are the tests. You get to have the book with you. And you can open the book and you can find all the answers you need to find and get the best grade you possibly can get. Well, how foolish then would it be for a student who does not know the material to then on an open book test not even open the book once, but instead just come up with his own answers that he thought made the most sense, but were all wrong, and wrote them down instead. Right, boys and girls, you would never do that. Who would ever do that? And that's what so much of humanity, though, has done with the questions of life. They've come up with their own wrong answers when they could have looked in the book full of answers all along. And they've done so to the great delight of the evil one. Because this is what Satan wants and works to accomplish. He tries to keep you away from the Bible. That's why it's so hard to have your quiet time every day. Right? Satan is working very, very hard. He wants you to be away from the truth. Because if you're away from the truth, then you're deceived. And if you're deceived, you're defeated. And that's his goal. So Paul says, put on the belt of truth, because that's the way to stand against the wiles. Even Ian Duguid explains it this way. The belt of truth is your foundational garment. Put it on. Wear it. Be found in it day and night. For in Christ, that truth will set you free from the grip of Satan's powerful lies. Right? This is what we need. We need the belt of godly sincerity and the belt of biblical truth, because when we have those things girded on, that's when we're able to stand in the battle. Put on the belt of truth. And don't wait to put on the belt of truth, because as we see thirdly and finally, the belt of truth is something that must be put on in preparation for the battle. In preparation. If you look again at verse 14, Paul says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The grammar is very significant there. Girding your waist with truth, in other words, is a past action for a present reason. Right? Did you get that? It's a past action for a present reason. And that's because girding your waist is something you would do in advance of something else so that you're ready for it. Right, think of your own belt. I don't think any of you this morning waited to come and grab your seat in the pew before you then put your belt on, did you? I hope not. Right? You put your belt on when you were still at home, before you walked out of the house, so that you were ready to come into the church building and sit down in the pew. Right? We all understand that. That's the idea. Right? You wouldn't wait until you're out there with your sword fighting the enemy to say, hold on a second, let me gird up my loins. No, you have your loins girded so that you can go fight and you're ready for whatever comes your way. To gird your waist is to be ready. It's an act of preparation. Jesus actually uses this to talk about how we should be ready for his second coming. Luke 12:35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. It's something you do beforehand to be ready. And as Paul says in Ephesians 6, girding your waist with the belt of truth is how you prepare for the battle against evil. In other words, it's not something you do once you're in the moment of temptation. It's something you do ahead of time so that you're ready for the moment of temptation. You prepare yourself by girding your waist with the truth now so that later you will stand in victory. And so in closing, let me give you some practical ways to put on the belt of truth in preparation for the battle. I've got three of them. First, daily pursue a close walk with Christ. Sounds pretty simple, but so important. Daily pursue a close walk with Christ. Isaiah 11:5 says, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness, or truth, the belt of his waist. That's speaking of the Messiah. And it was, of course, fulfilled in the life of Jesus. Throughout his time on earth, Jesus wore the belt of truth. And that's how he was able to counter the lies of Satan in the wilderness, but also later on the cross as people are walking by, jeering at him until the end. That's how he won victory over evil. He lived in godly sincerity, and he lived by biblical doctrine. And so he's the one who can help you and does help you do the same today. As you abide in him, Scripture says, you will bear much fruit. That includes the fruit of integrity. That includes the fruit of living by God's word. And so the closer we walk with him, the more we can wear this belt, and the more we will profit from wearing this belt. Remember, Jesus is ultimately the armor of God. And so if we are to be strengthened and protected by the belt of truth, we must be girded with Jesus Christ. We must put him on, as it were, and stay very close to him. Second, daily strive to be in private what you are in public. Daily strive to be in private what you are in public. And this is another way to gird yourself with truth ahead of time. You fight against hypocrisy. And the way to do that is to make sure you're growing in consistency in how you live, right? By seeking to conform your private life with your public life. Because that's what true sincerity and integrity look like. It's when you're a godly person, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you're with. If you are consistently godly, in other words, then you're not pretending to be godly. That's the point. You're not wearing a mask to look better than you really are. And if you're that kind of person before the temptation comes, how much more likely will you be able to resist the temptation when it comes? If you watched the game yesterday, you're already laughing. I was going to say, I'm not going to mention the score, but I am going to talk about the game. If you watched the game yesterday, there was a time when ESPN highlighted the practice habits of Zach Edey. Any of you remember seeing this? Or they talked about throughout the week, he's, you know, right under the net, you know, practicing this shot over and over and over. And we understand he does that day after day because when he's in the game, those are the shots he's making. And he made a lot of them yesterday, and he'll make more in the future. Well, in the same way, we need to practice godly sincerity so that we have it in the game. We need to practice. Then third, daily fill your mind with the truth of Scripture. Daily fill your mind with the truth of Scripture. Notice the word daily I keep using here. Ian Duguid says, "The Bible gives us truth with which we can answer the devil and thus stand firm against his schemes. But, like a belt, in order for that truth to do us any good, we have to bind it around us afresh every day." I think it was him in his book who went on to say, we're like a bucket with holes. Right? If you're a bucket with holes and you pour water in it, boys and girls, where's the water go? Out of the bucket. And so if you want there to be water in the bucket, what must you do? Keep pouring more and more water. That's why we need more and more Scripture day after day after day. We've got to keep filling up the bucket. And so if you're not doing so already, I just want to encourage you today to begin a habit of daily Bible reading. And if you need help with that, talk to me. I would love to help you with that. You need guidance on what to do, how to profit from it. Reach out, but begin that habit. Set aside time every day where you're taking in the truth of God's holy word. I also want to encourage you, if you're not a part of a Bible study throughout the week, we've got plenty of them going on. They're studying different things, but there's another great opportunity for you to dive a little deeper into the word of God, to do so with your brothers and sisters, and to learn from one another. Of course, prioritize hearing Bible sermons. We have two of those each week. And do all that you can to learn more and more Bible truth. And so to that end, I'd encourage you, use a study Bible if you haven't used one before. Find a good commentary. Talk to me. I'm happy to help you. Find a commentary that will bring the Scriptures to life for you and help you understand it a bit more. When's the last time you read a solid Christian book? rich with biblical truth? When's the last time you picked up one of our confessions or catechisms? Rich with biblical truth. Right? These things are not the Bible, granted, but they are immensely helpful for understanding the Bible and applying the Bible. And that, again, is that's what we need. That's the point. That's what we need if we are to stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to have our minds and thus our lives filled with Scripture, filled with truth. Otherwise, we're defeated. We're defeated. One author says, without this belt of truth, you will be unprepared to face Satan's schemes. You will be deceived by his canny lies, held captive by his subtlety and trickery. And so these are three practical ways to prepare yourself for the battle. Daily pursue a close walk with Christ. Daily seek to be in private what you are in public. And daily fill your mind with the truth of Scripture. In fact, let me just close by saying this is also why the Lord's Supper is so significant for us. Because in the Lord's Supper, while we do not hear the truth of God, we do see the truth of God. Not only that, we partake of God's truth, and we are nourished with God's truth. This is actually another way to gird yourself with the belt of truth. You feed upon the one who is the truth. And so knowing that, knowing what this belt is and knowing why we need it, let us prepare to stand in the battle and by putting on the belt of truth. And let's start by coming together to the Lord's table. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, as always, for your word. We thank you for your Spirit who enlightens our minds and teaches us and who is the one who has been here over the last 30 minutes bringing your word to our hearts. We pray that we would remember what we have learned, that we would apply it. Lord God, we need your grace to do that. And so help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.